live edition of Mid-South Viewpoint on the day after Labor Day. Don't know if you had a chance to spend some time with family, maybe do a little cooking out on the grill. Our family did and quite enjoyed that. It's great to get together with family and be together. And some families have been displaced over the past week due to a very, very powerful storm that hit the Gulf Coast in Texas, Hurricane Harvey. Last Thursday, we did an update on some of the relief efforts that have been taking place. Had a chance to talk with Tim Haas, who is the director, U.S. Director for Disaster Relief for Samaritan's Purse. What a wonderful organization, Samaritan's Purse, led by the son of Billy Graham, Franklin Graham, and all of the volunteers and all the people who make Samaritan's Purse possible, not only in the U.S., but around the world. I received a call today and heard there was some really exciting stories coming out of the flood area, and we had a chance to visit with another representative with Samaritan's Purse. And so I know we have many of our churches in the Memphis area who are in mobilizing. They're having training. I heard that Bellevue Baptist Church is having some special training for disaster relief and relief efforts for Harvey this Friday night. And so many churches are preparing, gearing up, and heading down. Many people have already gone and volunteered with the Samaritan's Purse organization. But today we have the privilege of welcoming Todd Taylor to the show. Todd is the Assistant U.S. Director for Disaster Relief for Samaritan's Purse. Now, when we talked to Tim last week, Tim was actually in the Boone, North Carolina office for Samaritan's Purse. And Todd is actually on the ground right now in Texas and joins Bot Radio Network. Todd, first of all, you are the Assistant U.S. Director for Disaster Relief for Samaritan's Purse. How long have you had that title? How long have you been working with Samaritan's Purse?
I've been with the ministry for 13 years. I've been in this current role with the ministry for about 5 years. I came as a volunteer to the ministry and then started with as a part-time employee and continued down that until Hurricane Katrina, and I've been full-time since then.
Well, Todd, I understand in the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey, nearly 1,200 volunteers worked on Labor Day, which was yesterday, across five different locations in Texas. I understand that total includes over 800 serving with Samaritan's Purse in the Houston area. That's pretty exciting that you see that much response, people helping people.
Oh, it has been a great response. Our Victoria site and Rockport are both seeing large numbers of local volunteers. These are people that live here, whose friends and family have been affected, and they're coming out to help. Yesterday, during one of the orientations, I asked a group of about 200 if any of those people that were there to volunteer were affected. And of those 200, there were two separate families that self-identified as, yes, we've been flooded, but we want to help our neighbors, and we want to share Jesus with our hurting community more than we want to get our house taken care of.
Wow. Wow. What a great story there, Todd. You know, as you mentioned, you were involved with disaster relief in Katrina, and we have this, you know, big storm, Hurricane Harvey. You know, some might say, well, you know, a storm's a storm. They're pretty much all the same, but each of them has its own character and how it affects communities, and it's affecting people's lives is what it's doing. It's disrupting the way they live.
Oh, absolutely, Byron. You know, we often are asked to compare one storm to the other, and that is so difficult to do. We see the damage. We see the homes that are inundated with water. We see the trees on top of houses. And unfortunately, we see a lot of that. But when you listen to the homeowners and you hear their stories, you very quickly realize that regardless of the size of the disaster, that these folks are hurting. And it's a very personal loss that each one of them have to suffer through and go through and heal from. And it's different for every individual that's been affected. So we really try to avoid comparing the way that the storms affect. You know, it's easy to see the damage, but the way it affects people is constantly varying.
We also have the emotional impact that it has. You know, I mean, when people lose everything and it takes away their normal routine, it's an emotional hit to someone. It affects different people in different ways.
Well, that is so true. And one of the things that Samaritan's Purse does, when we help about a homeowner that's been affected, we have a three-stage ministry approach to that homeowner and trying to help them come to that new normal. First off, we have our team that goes out and does the work. While our team's there working, then a Billy Graham Rapid Response Team chaplain is going to follow up with that homeowner and just make sure that they really are okay. And then we're able, with that chaplain and our teams, to refer them back to the local church for continued long-term follow-up. You know, if they've just had a branch in the yard and they're unable to move that branch, or if there's a complete loss,
yeah,
we are here for the ministry of the gospel. And we want to be able to be a conduit to connect people with our local churches.
Todd, where are you standing currently? What is your physical location where you are right now?
I am at one of our host churches in Northwest Houston.
Can you kind of describe the area, describe some of the devastation, and was that particular area impacted like most of Houston was?
So we are, the church is high and dry, that's housing our volunteers and our base of operation. But just a couple of miles from here, water still has not receded. There's still water in houses. Just a few minutes ago, I was in our office trailer, and there was a elderly lady and her sister that came in looking for some help. And they said, you know, we're going to wade through the waters to be able to get out some of our valuables. And that's just 2 to 4 miles from our location. So it really has become pockets where water has gotten trapped in certain areas here in the Houston metro area.
And hey, Todd, what are some of the concerns when you talk about water standing in homes like this, and has been for over a week now? What are some of the concerns possibly happening to a homeowner's situation when they have water standing for a prolonged time like that?
So the first thought that comes into mind is mold. You know, the longer the water stays in, with the humidity and the heat, mold is growing. So that's always a concern. There's bacteria concerns. You know, there's damage to the structure. The water sits there longer and longer. The more saturated everything becomes. So there could be some issues with that. We also know that standing water is a great place for mosquitoes to congregate. So there's that concern as well. And then there's just the hard physical work of removing all of those wet content. There's also the emotional stress that a flood event puts on that homeowner. You know, so often with high wind events like tornadoes or with fires, the contents of that home, all of those memories are gone. And it's very easy. It's easier sometimes for that homeowner to grasp hold of gone versus the agony of having to look at every article that comes out of that house, look at it, knowing it has to be discarded, and then watching it go to the road, sit in a pile waiting for pickup for days or weeks on end.
Yeah, wow. The infrastructure like electricity and water, are you seeing any of that start to get back online?
Yes, sir. For the most of Houston Metro, if homes can receive electricity, most of them are now back up with utility connections. There are some areas that may be shut down because water is still standing. Down towards Rockport area, Victoria, they're still, in some cases, over a week away from receiving electricity because transmission lines are down. There's still trees down preventing connection on the houses and things like that.
Well, also, I was thinking about roads. Were there many roads that were washed away due to the floodwaters?
I'm sure there were. I personally have not seen any. You know, you open up a mapping program and you see road closures all over Houston. So we're trying to route around those. So we're not trying to, you know, we don't put additional stress on law enforcement that's running roads, keeping the roads closed in those areas. So we're trying to avoid those.
Yeah. Well, as you mentioned, volunteer response seems to have just been, you know, well received, and folks are, you know, volunteering and helping their neighbors, especially even the, you know, Texans are helping other citizens, you know, in their community, which is great. this report of nearly 1,200 volunteers that worked on Labor Day yesterday in five different locations. That's pretty exciting. Can you talk about that a second?
Yes, sir. So we've got some great church partners across the Houston metro area. And when they found out we were coming to town and where we were setting up, they just really stepped up. Today, the day after Labor Day, a lot of the kids are back in school now. Parents are back at work. We still have really good numbers for a Tuesday out working with over 400 volunteers across the different locations. We're just really excited about the local church stepping up and being the church. Now, we know that they're not going to be able to continue to run that pace every day. And we've got volunteers from across the nation that are registering with Samaritan's Purse through our website to come in and help out. And we have a volunteer management team in our office in North Carolina that is working as hard as they possibly can to contact every one of those registrants to get those guys scheduled to get them down here.
You know, Todd, as you talk about those coming from across the nation, just how far have folks been traveling or plan to be traveling in order to help with the cleanup?
So we've got people here now from California, Chicagoland area. We've got some folks from the Northeast. So really, they're coming in from all points.
Now, have you met any Memphis? Have you met any Memphis folks yet?
We have one from Memphis that is serving at our Victoria site.
That's good news.
And I know him personally, and I know he's there.
Well, we've got some more Memphis folks heading that way. I know, as I mentioned a moment ago, we've got churches that are providing training for their volunteers here locally as they get ready to mobilize and to come out and to help with cleanup. Now, as a homeowner is trying to get things, you know, reestablished, as you mentioned, cleanup, getting the old carpet and the padding and clothes and furniture and things that have been possibly contaminated with mold or things like that are being moved out into the street so that can be carried away. What about the other existing interior of the walls and things like that? What do you guys do? I hear this term called mud out and these mud out kits. I know when we were talking to Tim last week, he was telling us about Samaritan's Purse trucks that come and they're loaded with these mud out kits and chainsaws and other equipment for cleanup.
So after we get all the contents of the home out, there's still wet sheetrock. There's still cabinets and built-ins and things like that. There's, you know, fiberglass bathtubs that are up against sheetrock. So those type of things have to come out. So we work with that homeowner to remove the sheetrock in the affected areas, pull the cabinets out, take all of that out to the road. And, you know, when new construction, it's pretty easy to pull the sheetrock out. And quite frequently on older homes, you know, we may pull one layer of flooring out or one layer of wall out and find that there was another layer behind it and another layer and things like that. So it can become quite an ordeal to get some of these homes completely down to the studs. And we like to get them to a term called rebuild ready, where all of the nails are pulled. We do a treatment for mold suppression. We are not mold remediation contractors. We will apply a chemical to help prevent further growth and to get that home so that it's able to dry out and be as mold-free as possible for volunteers.
Right.
We're telling our homeowners this is to help stop it. You need to contact a contractor at this point to finish.
And so, and really,
with that type of,
and really, Todd, you're saving homeowners. I can't think about how much hundreds, if not thousands of dollars in time and energy by removing these things and getting things prepared. For the contractors, I guess they'll be negotiating deals and however that works through FEMA and other organizations that provide loans or relief or things like that. But that's basically what you guys are doing, is getting things ready, saving them, homeowner, in the process.
But that's right. And, you know, the important thing for us being there is while we're walking through doing this work for the homeowner, we're able to be shoulder to shoulder with them. You know, we don't work on homes unless that homeowner is there with us. And we know that that can be painful for the homeowner at times. But, you know, we're there to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, first and foremost. And we cannot do that to an empty house. That house will never get to heaven. But that homeowner, God's given us an opportunity to love on them can share the love of Christ with that person through pulling that sheetrock, through pulling that carpet. And we want to be sure that we're able to do that.
Well, Todd, how are people responding? Are people responding to the gospel as you share and as they see your intentionality of serving and loving and caring for them in this such practical way? Are people responding to Christ's message?
Oh, absolutely. Between the different sites, we have seen numerous people come to know Jesus. Just yesterday, or 2 days ago, at one of our locations, 22 people made professions of Christ in a day.
Wow. That is awesome. And as you mentioned, there's those on the ground, too, to do follow-up with these new family members. We got new people in the family as a result of the storm. So churches in the area, I guess, are doing follow-up?
Oh, absolutely. We have, like I was telling you, the chaplains will immediately follow up with that person, and they're able to get all of their contact information, and then they will walk those names right to the church pastor, where they're able to be assigned immediately for follow up. You know, we don't want a new believer just to wither on the vine very quickly. We want to get them plugged into a congregation where they're able to know that there's a whole family of believers that are there for them.
Oh, that's great. Well, Todd, do you have any special stories that stand out to you related to the flood victims?
I do. I have, like I told you at the beginning of the interview, I've been with the ministry now full-time for almost 13 years. There's numerous stories, but just last Thursday, of course, Vice President Pence came to visit one of our work sites. In preparation for that visit, we had some of the homeowners on the street that were coming back to be there, and there was a family one door down from where we were doing a lot of the work, and we had a small team at their home, and they brought their daughters back to the house for the first time since the storm hit. They had not seen it. They lived in a single-wide mobile home. It had been turned sideways by the tidal surge. There was a very large oak tree down across the front, and the children's play equipment, outdoor play toys, were in the front yard. The tree fell on that. It was washed. It was broken up. And this little girl let out, when she saw it and saw her house, she let out the most painful scream I've ever heard from a child. And that's it's a sound that I don't think I'll ever forget. As long as I've been doing this, that scream from that little girl, the pain that was in her voice, our team was able to rush over to her and offer her comfort and give her a hug. Mom and Dad were really occupied. Their mother's house, which was right beside them, was flooded. We were pulling the sheetrock out of it, so there was a lot of activity. But that's a sound that it's really going to stick with me.
I can't imagine, Todd. Oh, my. Because children, I mean, sometimes we think, oh, they're just children and they'll get over this quick, but these things stay with kids for life, and they can really impact them. I know, too, and I don't know how involved Samaritan's Purse is with what's often referred to as debriefing. You know, when people go through tragedies like this, I used to live on an island, Guam, when I was a missionary with Transworld Radio. And we had a Korean airline crash that took place there, and about 250 people lost their lives. We were part of the aftermath of that, assisting the family members that were there on the site. What great emotional grief and trauma. That debriefing time, you know, time to be able to console each other as a team and a group, can be real helpful. I guess even for your volunteers, you know, as they come into a situation like the disaster and those losing their homes in the Houston area, the times of debriefing, the times of connecting with each other and sharing what they saw and experienced is really important.
It is. And, you know, that is one of the key things that our chaplains bring to the table, the Billy Graham Rapid Response Team chaplain. You know, all of these guys go through intensive training with the CISM, which is Critical Incident Stress Management Training. We're able to couple that training along with training from the Billy Graham Training Center to be able to speak into all of that aspect. They're able to debrief with our volunteers as they come in the afternoon and then continue to reach out to those homeowners. And it's such a great marriage between both organizations, with Franklin Graham at the helm, just to make sure that these folks that have been affected by the storm and our volunteers are being cared for spiritually and emotionally.
When you mentioned about the unique stories that you experienced, are you hearing similar stories as your volunteers are connecting with homeowners affected by the floodwaters?
Oh, absolutely. You know, from finding jewelry that was left behind to a keepsake that was in the floodwaters but came through unhurt. Of course, here in Houston, we're hearing just incredible stories of rescue where people were wading through the waters, where they climbed up on the second floor of an apartment building to be able to wait for rescue. And several of our volunteers, you know, had family members that they knew to take the axe and the hatchet and the saw in the attic with them as they were waiting for rescue. It's just, you know, as you drive through the streets of Houston today, to realize that you were driving through an area that had 10 feet of water sitting on a freeway.
I mean, that's the deep end of a swimming pool all around you. Basically,
absolutely.
Yeah. Todd, what about those living in Section 8 housing in the Houston area? How have they been impacted by flooding, and how has Samaritan's Purse been able to help those in government housing besides the private housing?
With the government housing and even privately owned rental property, we can help those homeowners go in and try to salvage their belongings. But the actual removing of sheetrock and contents on those type of units is something we're not able to help with.
Okay, you're limited by doing that because of the situation, the housing?
Yes, sir. You know, it is essentially a business and government-style property
right.
ownership. And Samaritan's Purse, we're here to help those homeowners. We hope that the landlords or the entity that owns that particular apartment, we hope that they have an insurance. We know a lot of them do, but our ministry is to those homeowners. We also have our chaplains that are ministering to those people in the shelters right now. So we are able to reach out to them.
And any report of how many shelters are still operating?
I know that here in the Houston area, there are two very large ones. NRG Center is still open as a shelter. And the Bowman Center is still open as a shelter. The John Brown Center.
Okay. Todd, how long will Samaritan's Purse provide relief support to those affected by the flood?
We've made a commitment to help Texans recover. We've not put a timetable on that.
Okay, so you're there for the long haul.
We're here as long as there's a need.
Todd, I understand that Hurricane Irma is now roaring toward the northeastern Caribbean islands as a Category 5 hurricane and possibly Florida landfall by Thursday. Now, how prepared is Samaritan's Purse to handle a second storm so close to Harvey?
We have our team in Wilkesboro, right, in our home office there in North Carolina right now, that are formulating our plans for that. If there's a need, we do have a system in place to be able to stand up additional response.
Okay. You guys are moving. Todd, thank you so much for what you're doing for Christ's kingdom and the relief efforts of those in the Houston area and beyond to show the love of Jesus. Again, as you mentioned, the purpose for this, yes, you want to help people because that's what Jesus served people, but he also preached the kingdom. He told them about he was the way, the truth, and the life. And that's what people need to know in hopeless and helpless times.
Absolutely. You know, we are here in Jesus' name to share his love, to share the gospel of Christ. Anywhere Samaritan's Purse goes, we're there to show the love of Christ, and we want to share the gospel.
Okay, Todd, in closing, let's remind our listeners how they can contribute financially and also volunteer for relief efforts with Samaritan's Purse.
Both of them go to the same place. Go to the website, samaritanspurse.org.
SamaritansPurse.org, and you can get all the details. And you guys are doing a great job providing updates with videos and pictures and stories so people can really understand the magnitude of what's taking place and how you guys are standing in the gap at this time.
Well, thank you so much, and we appreciate so much this opportunity to get the message out to your listeners.
Well, again, let's remind our friends we've been talking today with Todd Taylor. He is the Assistant U.S. Director for Disaster Relief with the organization Samaritan's Purse, doing a wonderful job. We appreciate the hard work of Samaritan's Purse. It does not only in our North America country, but all over the world. There's a need. Samaritan's Purse is there. We're going to say goodbye on this edition of Mid-South Viewpoint. I've enjoyed our time. Friends, thanks for tuning into this live edition. We were able to get Todd in this busy time right now, right on the phone with us, live in the Houston area to give us this report. We appreciate that. We're going to say goodbye for now. I'm Byron Tyler. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.